Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 6, Text 2 to 18. Text 18 is written on the board. So first, I'll try to read from text 2 to 17 myself, and then we'll recite text 18 together. The chapter entitled The Progeny of the Daughters of Daksha. Text 3. I feel comfortable to read from Sanskrit verses. I will read from Bengali book. Text 3. Nama dhyan amushantam shapattanam chame srinu jasang prasutir prasavair loka aparitas trayaha. Now please hear from me the names of all these daughters and their descendants who filled all the three worlds. Here Shukdev Goswami is speaking. He is narrating the descendants of Daksha's daughter. In the previous chapter, we have heard that how Narad Muni converted Daksha's 11,000 sons into devotee, and they took renounced order of life. So later on, Daksha, he repented for offending Narad Muni. On the advice of Lord Brahma, Daksha again decided to start the procreation, and Brahma suggested that you produce only daughters, because if you produce sons, maybe Narad Muni will come again and convert them into devotees. So you better produce daughters. So on the advice of Lord Brahma, Daksha produced 60 daughters. So from this you can understand, in upper planets, among the demigods, they are able to determine whether they want male child or female child. Now, on earthly planet we cannot do that. It is impossible. I know many fathers, they want to have son, but they have only daughters. But some father wants to have daughter, they have only sons. Although they are going to doctors, but sometimes they cannot fulfill that desire. But we see here, Daksha, he wanted daughters and he produced 60 daughters. And the descendants of these daughters, they actually, they are children, grandchildren, and, even ourselves, all the insects, all the animals, they all came from these descendants of these daughters. So, from this chapter you can understand the theory of creation properly. Because in modern school and colleges, they teach the Darwin theory, and they have a completely different concept of creation. According to modern, so-called scientific theories, the living entities came from matter and from amoeba, slowly, aquatics and plants, animals, and from monkey, human being are, originated from monkey. Darwin's famous book, that origin of species, Darwin's very famous book. So in the last chapter of that book, you can check last chapter, there is a line written by Darwin himself, that actually this theory which I am presenting in my book is my speculation. is my speculation. He himself declared that whatever he wrote in his book, this is my speculation, imagination. And it is really wonderful how so-called scientists, they accept this theory as science. Where Darwin himself declared, this is my imagination, it is nothing secret, he openly declared that this is my imagination, the whole book is my imagination, but the modern scientists and, you know, historians, they think that this is science. Darwin's theory is science. How it can be science? Where he himself declared that it is imagination. The real, you know, fact is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. How the whole creation, all planetary systems, in the beginning they were empty, they were blank. How they were filled through Brahma, from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu's navel, a lotus came out, and on that lotus Brahma was born, and from Brahma many progenitors called Prajapatis were born, and Daksha is one of them, and from Daksha, you know, many, you know, children, we can understand from this chapter that he produced many daughters, 60 daughters. And if you read more, you can see even the mosquitoes, insects, animals, you know, like tigers, they were also, you know, born from these demigods or goddesses. So who can understand this? The mosquito is born from demigods, mosquitoes, they are children of demigods, insects, children of demigods, any animals, whatever you see, any living forms, whatever we experience in this world, are all, they came from demigods and goddesses. So it is so difficult that, as far as I know, still today in schools and colleges and universities, they teach Darwin theory, but they don't accept this description, how, you know, human being are, you know, how human being came and how all the living entities are produced. Still today, they accept Darwin's theory, and in schools and colleges, universities, they are teaching Darwin's theory. So I don't know when it will be possible, when Srimad Bhagavatam will be taught in schools and colleges so that everybody accepts it as a fact. It is very difficult. The 10 daughters given to Jamraj, this is text 4. Bhanur lamba kukud jamir vishya shaddha murastati bushur muhurta shankalpa dharma patna shatansrinu. The 10 daughters given to Jamraj were named Bhanu, Lambha, Kokud, Yami, Vishya, Shaddha, Muruttati, Boshu, Muhurta, and Shankalpa. Now hear the names of their sons. In Bhagavatam you will find thousands of names like this. In all Vedic literatures there are millions of names mentioned. And wonderfully these names are mentioned in, practically speaking, the same names are repeated in other Puranas also, in other scriptures also. I mean, there are 18 Puranas. The names mentioned here, you will find the same names in other Puranas. And there are detailed descriptions in other Puranas, in Mahabharata, in Ramayana. And they are completely consistent. This is a symptom of perfect history. History means history must be consistent. If I give you 1,000 names, and if you make some imaginary story with the, you know, using these 1,000 names, it will be very difficult to make them consistent. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, in all the Vedic literatures, there are millions of names mentioned. Only in Mahabharata, there are so many thousands and thousands of names. And they are repeated in different Puranas, in Ramayana, Mahabharata, and, you know, they are mentioned everywhere and they are consistent. their narrations of their life, their life stories are consistent. So this proves that this is perfect history. Just like here, the names of Shaddha, Bhushus are mentioned. It is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Yesterday I was checking in chapter 11, verse 22, Bhushus are mentioned. There are 8 Bhushus and Shaddhas. Marutas are mentioned and Rudras are mentioned, which are mentioned here also. Bhushus are also mentioned in Mahabharata. Mahabharata, there is a narration of eight Bhushus. Their names are given. Yeah, their names are also given here. So, I think after one or two verse, their names are mentioned. So these Bhushus, they are also demigods. And sometimes they offended Vasishtha Muni. They did some offense to Vasishtha Muni. And Vasishtha Muni became very angry. And he cursed them that you become human on earth planet. This was the curse. And they started to cry, you know. It was a great punishment for them to become human on earth planet. So when they were crying, then Ganga Devi saw them. So then Ganga asked, why are you crying? Oh, it is a very, very, you know, bad news that we are cursed by the sage Vasishtha, that we have to take birth on earth planet as a human. This is a great curse. So then Ganga Devi approached Vasishtha and she tried to, you know, pacify Vasishtha. And Vasishtha told, okay, I have already given curse and it cannot be withdrawn, but they have to take birth on earth planet, but they can come back as early as possible. They can come back to heaven as early as possible. So then Ganga, on the request of all the Bhushus, 8 Bhushus, Ganga herself became their mother. Ganga married King Shantanu on earth planet on one condition, that whatever I will do, you cannot object. You cannot give any objection. I will do whatever I like. If you agree on this condition, then I am ready to marry you. And King Shantanu was so much, you know, he was so much attracted by the beauty of Ganga that he accepted this condition. Yes, whatever you want, you can do. I will not object. So then, from Ganga, when first child was born, she took the child and she threw that child into Ganga river, into the water. So King Shantanu was really surprised. How is it possible for a mother to throw her own child in the river? How is it possible? So one by one, she threw 7 children in the river. So after 7th child, King Shantanu, he could not tolerate anymore. He could not keep his promise. He obstructed. He stopped Ganga. You cannot do this. When 8th child was born, then King Shantanu protested. So in this way, when Shantanu stopped Ganga, the promise was broken and Ganga told, okay, so because I married you on this condition that you cannot object any of my work, but today you have objected, so I have to go today. So then in this way Ganga left King Shantanu and she took Bhishma Devu with her for training, and she promised that after training I will send him back. So Bhishma Devu was trained in, at that time his name was Devabrata. So he was trained in heaven, and after training he was returned to Ganga. So everyone knows this story. So these Bhushus, they are mentioned in Mahabharata and mentioned in Bhagavatam and mentioned in many other places in details. And Shaddhas, you know, many names you can find everywhere in different Puranas, you will find these names. Text 5. Bhanustu Devarishabho Indrasenastato Nripa Vidyut Ashilambhaya Statostatas Stanoit Nabha. O king, a son named Devarishava was born from the womb of Bhanu, and from him came a son named Indrasena. From the womb of Lamba came a son named Vidyuta, who generated all the clouds. Very difficult to digest. Lamba's son was Vidyuta, and Vidyuta's son was clouds. Clouds. How cloud can be children? So, clouds are also personalities. We have read in Krishna book, Prabhupada's Krishna book, and in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a mention of Samvartaka. Samvartaka is a person. When Indra wanted to, create disturbance in Vrindavan, he called for Samvartaka cloud. This Samvartaka is a person. So, the Samvartaka is actually his function is to create annihilation, pralaya. At the time of annihilation, the Samvartaka cloud destroys everything by, pouring rain, rainwater. So, Samvartaka is a personality. So, like this, there are many other personalities who are clouds. They are like demigods. They control. Although Indra is the chief demigod to control clouds, but this is a huge department. Clouds and rain is a huge department, and there are many personalities behind who are controlling clouds, who are responsible to manage these cloud departments. So, these sons of Vidyuta, they are all clouds. They are some personalities who are in charge of controlling clouds. They are helping King Indra to control clouds. So, they were generated from Vidyuta, also in the descendant of the daughters of Daksha. Text 6th.
Kokudo sankata astasya kikota astanayo jata bhuvadurgani jamayo sarganandis tato bhavat. From the womb of Kokudo came the son named Sankata, whose son was named Kikota. From Kikota came the demigods named Durga. From Jami came the son named Sarga, whose son was named Nandi.
Text 7. This is mainly historical, not much philosophical. So then, text 7.
Vishwadevastu Vishaya aprajangstan prachakshati saddho ganascha saddhaya artho siddhistu tasyataha.
The son of Vishwa, or the Vishwadevas. So these Vishwadevas are also mentioned in Srimad Bhagavad Gita chapter 11. Who had no progeny, the Vishwadevas had no progeny. From the womb of Shaddha came the Shaddhas. The Shaddhas are also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Who had a son named Artha Siddhi. Text 8.
Murtangsha Jayantascha Murtatva Babhuvatu Jayanto Vasudevangsha Upendra Iti Jang Viduhu.
The two sons who took birth from the womb of Murtati are Murudvan and Jayanta. Jayanta, who is an expansion of Lord Vasudeva, is known as Upendra. So, Upendra is expansion of Vasudeva. And another Upendra is also mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, that is son of Aditi and Kashyapa. So, that Upendra also incarnation of Krishna. And this Upendra also incarnation of Krishna. So, there are many incarnations and sometimes names are common. So, here Upendra, this Upendra and that Upendra, is both are incarnation of Krishna.
Text 9. Mohurtika devogona muhurtayascha jagri javai phalang prajachanti bhutanang shashakalajam.
The demigods named the Muhurtikas took birth from the womb of Muhurta. Muhurtika. Muhurta means moments. So there are many demigods born in the line of Daksha's daughter. They are called Muhurtikas. Muhurtikas, they control the moments. So every moment is under control. There are so many demigods controlling the moments. And here it is mentioned that they are actually, how they are controlling the moments. They are controlling the action and reaction. I mean, reaction, whatever work we are doing in every moment. Every moment, through our speaking, through our thinking, through our action, bodily action, we are doing so many works. Moment by moment, moment by moment. And these demigods called Muhurtikas, literally means moments, moments. So these demigods called moments, they are actually giving the reaction of our karma, of our work, every moment whatever we are doing. So much control is there, but due to our ignorance, we cannot understand, majority of we cannot understand that how we are under control. We think that everything is, especially modern atheistic class of people, they think everything is running automatically by chance and there is no control behind. But you see, every moment is under control and there are so many demigods who are controlling these moments. These demigods deliver the results of actions to the living entities of their respective moments, the respective times. Every moment they are we are under supervision. We are under supervision, moment by moment. There are so many, in Puranas mentioned that there are 33 crores of demigods, minimum 33 crores. Crore, I think every one of you understand what is crore. Hundred thousand is 1 crore. No, 1 lakh. 10 million. 10 million is 1 crore. 10 million. Yeah. 10 million. One is lakh. Lakh is 100,000. Lakh is 100,000. And crore is 10 million. So, like this, 33 crores of demigods. And they are controlling. It is actually very, very logical. Prabhupada gave the argument that even a small shop is controlled by many workers. If you go to Kolkata, there are many shops. 33 workers are working, there. So if to manage a small shop, 33 workers are needed to manage this whole cosmic manifestation, the whole creation. It is a huge, huge management, So 33 crores of demigods are there. Everything is under control. Everything is recorded and everything is under control, but we don't know. We think everything is running automatically. Prabhupada also gave the example of a child and his father entering into airport and there is an automatic door. So when they came near the door automatically opened. So the father knows there is an engineer, there are many engineers and many workers and much money is invested, and how the door is made, father has some idea. He knows there are many engineers behind this. But the child is thinking, oh, so nice door, it is automatically opening. So child, because his intelligence is small intelligence, when the aeroplane, takes a lands, yes. When the aeroplane lands, so, my English is very weak, So when the aeroplane lands, there are many lights, green lights and, red light, yellow light. So if some child can, peep, he can see, oh, there are many beautiful decorations of light. But the pilot understands, this light means don't land here, land here, like this. Pilot understand the meaning. So much training is needed to understand the meaning of this light. But a child, he can see, oh, nice decoration, you know. He can only see the decoration. So, for all, the whole creation is like a decoration. We are like children. We don't understand how these things are managed. We are like simple children, you know. We don't understand deeply how everything is managed and how everything is running, you know. But those who are really experienced in scripture, they can understand that, you know, many millions of demigods are controlling everything. We are under control. So, it is our foolishness when we do something wrong, because we think that we can escape somehow. But it is not possible. You know, 33 millions of demigods are controlling, and overall Krishna is there, you know, he is the supreme supervisor. So, it is impossible, even for little crime, even for a small, you know, sin, it will be recorded and we will be, you know, punished, or if we do some good work, we will be rewarded. So, we should understand this. It is completely foolishness to think that I will be benefited by doing this. It is completely foolishness. So, that's why we have to be very, very straightforward, that what is wrong, we have to avoid. If we don't avoid, I will be the sufferer. I will be the sufferer. Nobody will share my sin. Nobody will share my sin. So then text 10 to 11. Sankalpayastu sankalpaha kama sankalpaja smrita vasava astu vasu putras tesang namani mesinu druna prana druva arko agnir dosho vastur vibhavushu Drashavi Mati Patna Harshashoko Vayadaya. The son of Sankalpa was known as Sankalpa. And from him lust was born. So they are also person. We have experience of lust, but this lust originally is a person. Sons of Boshu are known as eight Boshus. I have already mentioned about the eight Boshus, so here also repeated. The sons of Boshu are known as eight Boshus, Ashta Boshu. Just hear their names from me. The names of Ashta Boshus are given here. Drona, Prana, Dhruva, Arka, Agni, Dosha, Bastu, and Vibhavushu. From Abhimati, the wife of the Boshu named Drona, were generated the sons named Harsha, Shoko, Bhaya, and so on. The names of, sons born from Abhimati and Drona were Harsha. Harsha means joy, Shoko means lamentation, Bhaya means fear. So they're all personalities. Our philosophy is called personalism. It doesn't refer only to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It refers that there are so many personalities behind everything. Behind river there are many personalities. Behind mountains there are personalities. Behind planets there are personalities. Behind everything there are personalities. There are personalities. Just like in an aeroplane, the maker of the aeroplane is a person, engineers, scientists. The pilot is a person, the passengers are person, and the controller are person. So, person and person. Oh, and the person is the main, main factor in creation. So, Krishna is supreme person, but there are also so many personalities expanded from Krishna, step by step. Why you are reading all these names of, sometimes you know, we may question, why you are reading all these names, what is the benefit? Because ultimately, you know, these are Krishna's expansion, and in this, you know, genealogical chart, sometimes you will find some, you know, pure devotees. And when there will be name of pure devotees, Srimad Bhagavatam will, you know, magnify that, you know, that person, and, you know, generally in Srimad Bhagavatam, all the pastimes of pure devotees are, you know, narrated very elaborately. So, genealogical chart, in another place it is written that these names, if we hear these names, this will purify our heart. So there are, you know, some purpose why Shukadeva Goswami is mentioning all these names. It will give us real knowledge, and we'll understand Krishna perfectly. To understand Krishna perfectly, this genealogical chart is important. And that's why these are given in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is so important that because we did not, people do not study this, that's why, they are overpowered, they are, influenced by Darwin's theory and all other, nonsense theories. So if you read these, narrations, then we can be, get rid of these theories, Darwin's theory. Once we believe Darwin's theory, it is very easy to become criminal. Once we really believe Darwin's theory from our heart, within our heart, then we can really, very easily we can become criminal. Because the theory is like that. Completely materialistic theory. Life came from matter and we are nothing but, actions and reactions of some atoms and molecules. So, what is the foundation of morality? There is no foundation of morality. There is no meaning of life, practically speaking. Text 12.
Pranasarjasati bharja saha ayu purojava dravasya bharja dharanir asuto vividhapura. Urjasati, the wife of Prana, gave birth to three sons named Saha, Ayush and Purojava. The wife of Dhruva was known as Dharani, and from her womb various cities took birth. Before we heard how clouds took birth, now in this verse it is mentioned cities took birth. Cities, towns and cities. So when some, atheistic type of people, they will read this, immediately, this is mythology. How city can be born from personalities, City like Kolkata, if I say Kolkata is a son of Bombay is a daughter of, if you say like this, people will say this guy has become mad completely. But practically speaking, behind everything there is a person. Behind everything there is a person. This is very important to understand. Yeah? Even this earth planet, there is a person behind, called Vasundhara, Dharani. They are person. There are personalities who are controlling oceans. Sagar. Sagar is a person. There is a demigod who are controlling oceans. So we only see the ocean, but we don't see the person. We see the earth planet. We don't see Vasundhara. That's why we easily suspect, we easily doubt. But argument is there, Prabhupada gave the example, the nails are coming from my body. So nails are matter or life? Nails are dead matter. When I cut nails, I don't feel pain. But when I cut my finger, I feel pain. That means there is life, consciousness. Within my finger, there is consciousness. But within my nail, there is no consciousness. So the nails are, expanded from, it is an expansion of life energy, producing some matter. So life can produce matter. In my body maybe I am producing little hair, little nails, but demigods, they can produce cities, they can produce planets. Says Vishwamitra, he produced many planets. Kardama Muni, he also produced like planets, Kardama Muni, when he, he wanted to travel around the universe with his wife Devahuti, he created a small planet. And in that planet there are many palaces and lakes and springs, mountains. And he was traveling throughout the universe with his wife. So, as I create small nails from my body, I create hair from my body, similarly, the demigods, they can create many beautiful cities. If they can create planet, why not cities? Why not cities? Kardamuni also created cities. He created city. Vishwamitra Muni, he created planets. And there are many sages who could create planets, who could create cities. So similarly, from the daughter of Daksha, they are not directly, but
from the their descendants were some cities. Some cities were born from the they are born as descendants of daughters of Daksha. So we have to accept, we have to believe this. Otherwise, if you cannot digest, that means we are not in our, you know, we have to 100% accept that yes, cities and towns can be born from personalities. We have to digest that mosquitoes can born from demigods. We have to accept all these things. Then when we have full faith, that will strengthen our devotion. Text 13.
अर्कस्य वसना भार्या पुत्रस्त पुत्र पुत्रस्तर्ष दयोस्मृता अग्निर्भार्या वसुर धारा पुत्र द्रविनकादय.
From the womb of Vasana, the wife of Arka, came many sons headed by Tarsha Dhara, the wife of the Bosu named Agni, gave birth to many sons headed by Dravinaka. Text 14.
Skandascha Kritika Putra Je Vishakha Dayastata Dashasya Sarburi Putra Shishumaro Harekala.
From Kritika, another wife of Agni, came the son named Skanda Kartikeya, whose sons were headed by Vishakha. From the womb of Sarburi, the wife of the Bosu named Dosha, came the son named Shishumara, who was an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, among these children, some of them are expansion of Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mean, like empowered incarnation, or sometimes, you know, expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's why this list is important, because in this list, you know, some of them are, you know, empowered incarnation of Krishna, and some of them are expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And their story, history will be, you know, narrated in different chapters elaborately. Text 15.
वस्तुरंगी रशि पुत्र विश्वकर्मा कृतिपति ततो मनुष्याक्षुषो अभूत विश्व श्रद्धा मनुष्यता.
From Angirashi, the wife of the Bosu named Vastu, was born the great architecture, architect Vishwakarma. Everyone knows Vishwakarma. He is the son of Vastu. There is a Vastu Shastra, a scripture on Vastu, and Vishwakarma, who himself is an architect, was born from that Vastu. So Vishwakarma became the husband of Akriti. Akriti means form. So Vastu Shastra is related to form. We are using many names in this world, but you know, every name, you know, many of them have personality behind. Akriti, form, has a personality. Then Vastu as a person, you know, is a person from whom the Manu named Chakshusha was born. And from Akriti, Chakshusha Manu was born. Chakshusha Manantar, you have heard many times. The sons of Manu are known as the Vishwadevas and Shaddhas. Vishwadevas, Shaddhas, they are famous demigods. Text 16.
विभावशूर अशुतोषा बुष्टं रचिशमातपं पंचजामोथ भूतानि जेन जागृति कर्मशु.
उषा, द वाइफ ऑफ विभावशु, गेव बर्थ टू थ्री सन्स, बुष्ट, रोचिश एंड आतप. फ्रॉम आतप केम पंचजाम, द स्पेन ऑफ डे. द डे इज डिवाइडेड इनटू फाइव स्पेन. They are called Jama, Pancha Jama, five Jamas, the span of five span of day, who awakens all living entities to material activities. So by the influence of these Pancha Jama demigods, people are in, you know, awakens to material activities. than text 17. 17 and 18 given together. So I read the 17, then we'll read 18 together.
Sarupasuta bhutasya bharja ruddhangscha kotisha raivatajo bhavo bhima bhamo ugra vrishakapi.
Please repeat after me.
Ajay kapat ahir brahm bradhno Ajay kapat ahir bradhno Bohurupa mahaniti Rudrasya parshadaschanne Ghora preta binayaka Ajay kapat ahir bradhno Bohurupa mahaniti Rudrasya parshadaschanne Ghurar preto binayaka Ajay kapad ahir bradhno Bohurupa mahaniti Rudrasya parshadaschanne Ghora preto binayaka.
Please try. Prasadaschanne Ghora Preta Vinayakaha. Matajis
Ajay Kapad Ahir Bradhno Bohurupo Mahaniti Pradrasya Prasadaschanne Ghora Preta Vinayakaha. Ajay kapad ahir bradhno Bohurupo mahanati Rudrasya parshadaschanne Ghora preto vinayaka.
Word meaning Ajay kapat Ahir bradhno Ahir bradhno Bahurupa, Bahurupa, Mahan, Mahan, Iti, Das, Rudrasya, of these Rudras, Prashada, sorry, Parshada, their associates, Cha, and Anne, Adar, Ghora, very fearful, Preta, ghosts, Vinayaka, and hobgoblins. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Sarupa, the wife of Bhuta, gave birth to the 10 million Rudras, of whom the 11 principal Rudras are Raivata, Aja, Bhava, Bhima, Bama, Ugra, Vrishakshapi, Ajaykapat, Ahir Brahman, Bahurupa, and Mahan. Their associates, the ghosts and goblins, who are very fearful, are born of the other wife of Bhuta. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that Bhuta had two wives. One of them, Sarupa, gave birth to the 11 Rudras. And the other wife gave birth to the associates of the Rudras, known as the ghosts and hobgoblins. So the ghost and hobgoblins, you know, they are, you know, associates of Rudras. There are millions of Rudras, and out of these millions of Rudras, 11 are very important. So in the latter part of this chapter, you'll see very interesting description of how, you know, different animals and trees, plants and insects were born from all these demigods. So time is over. If you have any kind comment or question or suggestion, please.
Beings who have powers way beyond us. But the question I want to ask is, what does it have to do with our daily, everyday life? For example, I may get on an airplane. I can hardly approach the pilot. You know, I may not even be able to see the pilot. But when I get on an airplane, I go about my airplane life. You know, I read a book, or watch a movie, or whatever I do. Okay? So what does it matter, you know, whether I know the pilot exists or doesn't exist, whether I'm concerned about the pilot or not concerned about the pilot, I'm aware of the pilot or not aware of the pilot. So I'm asked, that's the question I'm asking.
Yeah.
There's this claim here in the Bhagavatam that there's these personalities behind all these things. But what does it matter to us?
Yeah,
we're so small.
It is a very nice question. See, personally I feel that in my experience, personalities are most powerful thing, personalities. If you are in bathroom or if you are, you know, in your own room, you have one kind of, you know, feeling that nobody's, you know, sees me, I'm, you know, you are not feeling shy, you know. I mean, you are more free because you know, the walls, they don't have personality. In my bathroom, the walls, they don't have personality. So we don't care so much, you know, when we understand there is no personality. But when there is personality, we become alert. We become alert. If I am in my bathroom, you know, I can do whatever I like. But when there is some person, I have to be alert. Is it not? So, similarly, the purpose of the scripture is to make us alert and conscious that there are many personalities watching us, controlling us, and giving us punishment and reward. And if you don't know this, just like a child, I remember one of my cousin sister when she was small, she did not see her father. Father was somewhere, and she took one cigarette from her father's packet, small child, started, you know, imitating, you know, smoking, you know. So suddenly her father came, small child, and when she saw the father, saw her father, she immediately, you know, dropped the cigarette and she started running. So when we become, you know, conscious that there are many personalities observing us, watching us, controlling us, then we become alert. This is natural. Okay?
That's a great answer.
Hare Krishna.
I want to ask another question too. So you say, I found this interesting, you say there's these different demigods were born as certain personalities of emotions, you could say. Like there was a demigod who's in charge of lamentation or is the personification of lamentation, and there's a demigod who's in charge of joy, you said, or exaltation. So my question is, say something happens in our life and we fall into a deep lamentation, for example, or something happens in our life and we fall into utter exhilaration. Is that demigod?